And on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
What does strength in numbers look like for the Auburn Tigers? It's Monday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Yes, welcome in. It is the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio, and we think we're on the air. Holy cow, whatever just came through Auburn, Alabama a few minutes ago, about 30 minutes ago. You wouldn't know it now by looking outside and seeing the sunshine, but holy cow. I think our tower got hit. I think our building got hit. I think Tripp's car got hit, all struck by lightning. And so we're going to do the best that we can. We've been told that we can kind of be heard. So we're going to kind of go from here and we'll rock and roll with it. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. My man Tripp Upton across from me here this afternoon. Happy Monday, sir. Hopefully a nice weekend was had, and looking forward to a great full week back here in the ESPN 106.7 studio. Excited to break everything down with you here this afternoon.
Yeah, happy Monday to I think only the people in the Auburn Opelika area. If any friends are listening on the ESPN or ESPNAU.com or Radio Alabama app, you're probably not right now. You're probably listening to the podcast version because of the power issues and the connectivity issues. So just be aware we're working on it. You wouldn't be aware. So if you're listening to us now, you're here in the Auburn Opelika area, probably doing radio the old school way. But look, we're fired to be here. Great weekend, relaxing weekend, first weekend probably since like right after the 4th of July of no travel, nothing going on, just getting to hang out here in Auburn, and just excited for a good week and another week of fall camp we get to talk about for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, we do. We're very excited for week two of fall camp. A lot of media availabilities that we'll be able to attend and break down and dive into here throughout the week. You mentioned it, though. That's kind of how I feel of, man, we are so lucky, so excited to be able to go to Tampa for SEC Media Days, and then had a couple of days back here in town before I took, again, a work trip slash play trip, I guess, to California. And all of everything just happened so fast. Where I was like, man, I'm so excited for those two things. Moving was in the middle of those two weekends of being gone. And so I'm very excited for those opportunities, very, again, blessed to be able to do those. But now that August is here and it's Monday, August 10th, that makes things where it's like everything slows down. Ironically, when Auburn speeds up, because if you haven't noticed it, it's not Auburn summer anymore. Holy cow, there are plenty of people back in town. For better or for worse, it shows that the school season's getting here. It shows that football season is getting here, which we are very, very excited for. And a lot of breaking down conversations here this afternoon. Again, talking strength in numbers, going off some goalish quotes that he talked about in Tampa, ones that we were actually able to ask him. And our good buddy Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer was able to write an article talking about the depth of what Alex Golish feels comfortable seeing with the running back room as well as the wide receiver units, and how that unit will go as the offense goes, and how he's still looking for some more guys to continue to step up. And there may be a running back pretty close to town that has stepped up big time, looking to, quote, win a job. And I think that's really, really cool to see for Mr. Omar Mabson. And so we'll be able to talk a lot about that here this afternoon. Also, some Auburn basketball updates from Greece, what they looked like in game one, what they did or didn't look like in game two, and how don't press the panic button whatsoever, because
they're going to want you to press the panic button. Don't.
They want you to, but please, please do not do so. With the big power outage, I believe we're still We're still out right now as I pull up the ESPN app. Yes, I could play the dinosaur game. I can press the space bar live on air and jump over some rocks, jump over some hurdles. But
I was doing that earlier.
I don't know how well that would work on the radio side of things. And so because of that, that means, unfortunately, the phone lines are down as well. So no phone lines, but the text box is always open, which you can always be a part of, the Send Medicine text box. And it's brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. Again, S-E-N-N medicine.com. Strength in numbers for Alex Golish for this Auburn team. Again, something we talked a little bit about in Tampa. I got to ask him the question of, and an offense that works as fast as it does. By the way, that text box is 334-784-1OTL, 334-784-1685. Strength in numbers. We got to ask Golish what it looked like for, okay, how many wide receivers do you feel comfortable running with? Is this something that you want to have four guys? Is this something you want to have five? Do you want to have six? Or do you want to have, obviously the answer is the entire room, right? But sure. What is it that makes it where you feel confident in what these guys are able to do? And he said, we'd love to run with six guys. If we could get to seven, we'd feel even better about where we are at. And then he doubled down more recently, talking about 3.5 running backs essentially wanting to feel confident. We'll move that towards four with what Joel Gordon says. But, man, we've talked all about how the wide receiver unit looks very different than it has over the last handful of years, and how you don't have the Cam Colemans, you don't have the Perry Thompsons, you don't have the Malcolm Simmons, right? Those guys, not here. And right. I know that the Auburn fan base is hurting a little bit after the Texas video that they posted of Cam Coleman and the insane grab that he made. A lot of people are talking about who threw that football, though, but I think it got tipped at the line of scrimmage, so take that for what you will. But, yeah, everybody's losing their mind over the video, and rightfully so. Again, we've seen the athleticism of Mr. Cam Coleman, but we've taken a little bit more of the route of, okay, instead of the pressure for this offense to get the ball to Cam 8 times a game, give him 12 targets a game, for Malcolm Simmons to get 6 catches a game, or whatever the case may be, it's much more of a, we've heard the running back by committee, but this could be one of those wide receiver rooms by committee. And I don't think that that is seen as a negative thing. Again, if you have 6 wide receivers that you feel very confident in running your offense play after play, down after down, drive after drive, I think that puts you in a very, very good spot moving forward. If this Auburn offense with Alex Golish, with this South Florida staff, with Byron Brown, can work its way into fruition as if as the way the Golish sees moving forward.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a real team where the total of the team is bigger than the sum of its parts. And I think that, and I'd be curious your opinion on it, just the idea of the versatility that this provides for Alex Golish and the Auburn Tigers.
I mean, it's everything, right? I mean, think about it personnel-wise, right? If you're running 11 personnel, that's one tight end, one running back, that puts you there with 3 skill guys that are still needed to be on the field. If you wanted to go running backs, you could if you wanted to bump that number up. But in 11 personnel, you're going to have 3 receivers. That makes it to where you could run 11 as much as you wanted, and you're legitimately 2, if not 3, deep in every single position. That's a very good problem to have. That makes it to where you are no longer sitting there as a defense going, okay, what formation are they in? Or what personnel is going to be on the field? What are they running? It turns that into a who is on the field at any given play. Because we talked about this before going on air of, okay, you think about it like a defensive team, right? Or I guess a basketball team, I should say, not defensive. Was reading a quote from Auburn football that talked about the defense as I read that. But no, think about that from the basketball perspective of, okay, we need our 3-point shooting team out, right? We have a 10-point lead. We need to put our big man lineup out. We need our defensive lineup out. We've talked about that from the Auburn basketball perspective of what they're able to do, or hopefully able to do, inside Neville Arena and on the road this year. this Auburn offense can now look the exact same thing. You want three slot receivers, you want three speed guys, you have those guys. You want to have a couple of guys that can go out and win 50-50 balls, you have that. You want to mix and match. It makes it to where you can run so many different plays, so many different personnel groupings for so many different guys, and then being able to intertwine, be able to mix those up to where it's not just three on three. You make it to where, okay, now you're going to all of a sudden bring Jeremiah Koger into a formation that the defense hasn't seen yet. It makes it so advantageous for what this Alex Golish offense wants to be, and that's just talking the receiver room. That's not even diving into the running backs, which we're going to continue to do.
Right, and I think that, like, you see it on the defensive side of the ball where you have – like Auburn has done this under DJ Durkin of, yeah, we're not going to have like a one deep or a two. Like, this is not your edge rusher one, edge rusher two. It's these are the five edge rushers that are going to play. These are the 10 defensive backs that are going to play. These are the seven linebackers that are going to play. And it allows for versatility. If you think, okay, we're going to go short yardage here, bring in a couple more linebackers. If we're going to go, oh, they're going to be throwing the ball here, it's a 2-minute drill, let's go nickel, let's go dime.
Yeah.
That's what we see on the defensive side of the ball, and I think it's a really interesting approach to be doing it on the offensive of just playing situational football on offense, which I think is such a novel thing, but I think there's some huge upsides to it.
It just makes it to where you don't feel, again, the pressure of making sure that this guy gets his targets. This guy gets his targets. There's been so many conversations and so many complaints over the last, I mean, forever, it feels like, since a 1,000-yard receiver for the Auburn Tigers. Could that happen this year? Sure. Yet, with this style of offense, very similar to running the football as well, which we're going to dive into the running back room and how this is a complement for what this offense is going to look like as well, but would you feel more confident of a guy getting 1,100 receiving yards but having a 700-yard lead over just about everybody else? Or, like I would feel more confident in, if you had three 700-yard receivers to where you don't get that 1K guy, yet you sit there and go, holy cow, as a complementative unit, as one team working its way down the field, you feel as if there's a lot more confidence when there are two, three, four guys that you can go to at any given time, much less the six that Alex Golish wants to run with that can go and make plays whenever they're on the field. I think that would bring so much more confidence to this offense than if you just had one guy that was clear and above just about everybody else.
Right, and I think that it has a multitude of pluses where you look at it where imagine you have three 700-yard receivers, you have two 500-yard receivers, mixing in your tight ends and your running backs. That might not look like a lot, and you might hear that the other side of the state go, oh, look, Auburn can't develop a good receiver. Then you look up and you see, oh, Auburn has 3,500 passing yards,
yeah,
and Byron Brown is the number one quarterback all time in passing yards in a single season for Auburn. And that's not even including any running statistics. Like, if you could tell me that, like, yeah, let's do it. I think it also helps with ego and NIL, where you're not going to have, like, I think that a lot of Auburn fans would agree they saw last year, of guys that are those far and ahead number one wide receivers, and you're paying top dollar for. You're paying top dollar despite production because you have the name and the number split out wide instead of the skill set. And I think if you were to look at it, that wide receiver room becomes more of a room rather than a collection of stars, where it's, yeah, maybe I'm not going to get mine today, but next week's a better matchup. There's going to be opportunity there instead of Cam Coleman has to get eight throws a game or he's not going to be happy. He's going to leave us. There's going to be a lot more ego management, and I think that that's going to really help Auburn both on the field and off the field this coming season.
When you talk about the DJ Durkin defense as well, as we're diving into, again, just kind of the strength in numbers conversations that continue to arise with this Auburn football team, and again, this is a question that I was fortunately able to ask Alex Golish during the ambush event of how many receivers he feels confident running with at any given point and what that number looks like if there was a number. And again, he said six wide receivers is what he wants to be able to run with at any given time, and then the four running backs as well. But you look at the DJ Durkin defense, and if there's one thing that stands out to me in terms of why the defense can be so successful, yes, you have the Xavier Atkins. Yes, you have the guys up front. Yes, you have a couple of the big names that are in the secondary of the past. this secondary unit, while yes, you still have a couple of the guys that are manning their positions from the past, there's a lot of youth there. There's a lot of youth in the secondary. There's a lot of youth up front as well. There's a lot of inexperience up front. But I think, again, those question marks have a lot more optimism than, okay, we might have guys that can fill the spot. I think Alex Golish was able to go and get the guys that he wanted while also retaining the guys that he wanted. But DJ Durkin's team is always filled with depth on the defensive side of the football. Makes it to where, okay, we're only playing this guy 40 or 50 snaps a game when our offense or when the defense is having to play 70, 75, 80 snaps a game. It makes it to where there's a rotation. It makes it to where it's fresh. You don't see as much of that on the offensive side of the football, especially not in the receiver room. And so think about it. If you had six receivers that you feel confident running out on any personnel, any formation, any tempo as well, okay, all of a sudden the fourth quarter gets here and this guy's only played 35 snaps rather than 65 snaps. You go up against a DB who's already played in 60 snaps. Again, so advantageous because you're able to have a multitude of guys that can stay fresh, that can go and make big-time plays, and do the dirty work in blocking and the selflessness that it requires to play in an Alex Golish offense, to where he said it himself day one when he got here, we're going to run the you-know-what out of the football.
And that's such a just needed change from what has been the years past, because I think we saw the exact opposite of this last year with Hugh Freeze of, yeah, you had Malcolm Simmons. Yeah, you had Cam Coleman. Yeah, you had Eric Singleton. And you knew those guys were going to get theirs, but if one of those guys goes down or one of those guys gets, you know, is getting just absolutely locked up, who's the next guy that's going to step up and do something? You didn't see that. You saw instead of we have to throw the ball to this person this many times a game. And then when you looked up after you had four or five of those guys, it's we're throwing the ball 30 times a game, regardless of what's working and what's not, because mm-hmm. you're more worried about roster retention than you are winning football games. And I think that is something that Auburn needs to not think about. And I think that this receiver room is going to do a great job. And you mentioned just the amount of snaps. You said that earlier, kind of like what compared to a defensive back. Situationally, I think it could be fantastic too. It's okay. We know none of these DBs can run faster than a 4.4. Let's put our three just speedsters on the field and let's spread the field out. Oh, your tallest corner is 6'1". Yeah, here's our 3.63 guys.
Yeah.
Jump ball. Let's go. Oh, we're short yardage. Let's go tall. Oh, we need to go, they're going to run a lot of cover one and they're going to want to, really not like it if we go up the middle and spread the field. Let's do that. That's not even mentioning if you go, okay, we can put in these guys and go two tight end or go five wide and basically good luck. That is going to help in the game planning so much and put so much more in opposing defensive coordinators' head that they have to solve. And I just think that gives a mental advantage to Coach Alex Golish in this Auburn Tigers offense.
It starts on the offensive side of the football with the mindset of what opposing defensive coordinators, opposing defensive captains, and then again, all 11 guys that are going to be on the field at any given time, having to go up against this Auburn defense or this Auburn offense. Because yeah, I mean, if you're the free safety and you're sitting there going, okay, they're in 11 personnel again, or maybe they're in 21 personnel, whatever the case may be, and it's okay, if they do have an extra tight end on the field or they do have an extra running back in, maybe I'm going to start shifting in because they're thinking run. Or, again, just the I have to be able to play help over the top, and that makes it to where the running game then becomes that much easier. Everybody talks about the chestnut checkers, but how it really is a chess match. Every single play, every single drive, every quarter, every game, having so many different guys that can go and make plays is such an advantageous opportunity for the Auburn Tigers. Again, would you rather have one guy that has 1,200 receiving yards and everybody else sits around 200, 300, maybe 400? Or would you rather have three or four guys that can get to that 600-yard mark, that can get to that 800-yard mark and make it to where, holy cow, this unit has really come together and you see that the offense just works with Alex Golish and the SEC. And that's not even talking about the tight ends. That's not even talking about the running backs. But we're going to do that when we come back. We're just off and running here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We're running at Auburn Opelika. Don't know if we're running anywhere else, but we appreciate everybody for being here with us with the big-time power outage that just went by, getting word that there's still a couple of houses that don't have power. So fortunate to still be on the air and fortunate that you're here with us. We're off and running here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. If you have the opportunity to be here with us again, I don't believe the Radio Alabama app is off and running or the streaming side of things. And so going old school, going radio style side of things here this afternoon. Because of that, the phone lines are down here this afternoon. Usually talk with Jacob Hillman coming up in just about an hour or so. And so we'll keep you in the loop if we're able to get that back on the air, to get it back to where he can join us. Otherwise, it'll just be the two of us and you here this afternoon. But we're still having a good time, having a really good conversation as well, talking about strength in numbers for this Auburn offense and how Golish wants to use six guys at any given time in the receiver side of things to make this offense go down the field, make it to where there's a whole lot of success. And although that's great, you also have to have the other side of the football work as well, or I guess the other side of the offense, to where it can be a little bit balanced. And that works its way with Byron Brown. That works its way with the offensive line. It also works its way with the running back room, where Golish said that he said 3.5 running backs. And I think that more so just meant being able to have three guys and then somebody else that can fill those spots. I saw the joke of Sean Shivers and his lack of height that makes it to where he could come back if he wanted to, but Joel Gordon then emphasized making it to where there's four running backs that he wants to be a part of the system. I know there's been conversations of having a running back, not even by committee, but having a drive-by-drive type of running back to give RB1 or RB2 a little bit of a breather, and then have another one of those guys, if not two of those guys, that can go in at any given time. You mentioned it, like the short down, third down back, you have a short yardage back, you have your speedster, and then you have the Jeremiah Cobb or whatever the case may be. But again, I still think that having so many options, the running back room, how long has it been since you were worried about a running back room for Auburn? If it was, it was last year a little bit. And even with Damari Alston stepping away, man, Jeremiah Cobb passed that test with flying colors and became that true RB1 and showed the SEC, showed the country of why, man, this kid's a really good back, because we had only really ever truly, truly seen him receiving out of the backfield and then getting a couple of like the jet sweeps, getting a couple of those carries, but really polished his ability to be a between the tackles back. And I think that's something that every Auburn fan is really, really excited to see this year with Jeremiah Cobb. You have Bryson Washington, who is still a little bit of a question mark, we're being told, from the physical side of things. And again, I know a lot of people are expecting him to be kind of that RB2. You have Nakai Davenport, you have Tate Meadows, but then there's another guy who lives right down the road and made his way to Jordan-Hare Stadium a year early. Goes by the name Omar Mabson. You may have heard of him. The bowling ball himself from Auburn High School, one of the best backs in the country. Again, reclassified and was an Auburn freshman at the age of 17. And now I was looking at it and I was a little bit frustrated, because I was thinking, okay, he's going to be a redshirt freshman. He got carries in six games last year. And you talk about another way of – I know that the redshirting is working its way out the window, but
– I guess he would get a fifth year, so it wouldn't matter.
He would, so I guess it – if this works its way into fruition, it won't matter. But I was sitting there like, okay, it's cool, though, that he's a freshman. And it's like, oh, no, because he had 16 carries. But again, 12 of those were in three games. He had one carry against Missouri. He had two carries against Kentucky. And he had one carry against Vanderbilt. Again, not wanting to harp on the previous regime, but you talk about ruining a –
Well, I think you also have to realize the health of the running back room last year. I will give Coach Freeze that, and Coach Durkin a little bit as well, that grace, because, I mean, it was Jeremiah Cobb was banged up even a little too. I mean, Damari quit on the team. Mm-hmm. It was it Justin Jones, effectively, yeah. RB2? Like, you know, and Henderson was not ready to be the running back yet either. I just think that I don't know if that would have worked out. But to your point,
I guess it's more the fact of, like, if you're going to use him, rather than, again, literally having one carry for 1 yard and a touchdown against Missouri, having one carry for 4 yards against Vanderbilt. If he doesn't play in those two games, if he doesn't get two extra carries, you're still looking at him as a freshman. That's
sure.
I understand both sides of the story, but I guess,
I think hopefully in
6 months it won't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Hugh Freeze, you're at that point where going, man, I ain't going to be around to coach him next year, so I better do what I can and make sure that I can. Sure. So, but no, I think that the running back versatility is so good, kind of like a hitter's lineup in baseball where, you know, depending on the situation, depending on the defense you're facing, you're going to have guys that get more run here. And look, I think that the just opportunity that Omar is going to have this year is phenomenal. I think legitimately – I will put this, maybe not in record, but I think that by the end of the season, he is clear RB2, if he's not already. And I think he could compete for as close to RB1 snaps as you can get. Just because, not saying Jeremiah Cobb's not good, because I remember freshman year Jeremiah Cobb, I got some old text messages I got to go find of me saying, we need to make him like RB2 now.
Yeah.
Like him.
Felt like every time he touched the football, he found the end zone.
Right, like him and then Jarquez, I think they were phenomenal together. Like, make him the guy. You know, obviously, you had Batty and you had some other guys there. I think Edwards as well. But look, I think that Auburn can use this running back room to do some real damage this year.
And we've dove into what the 9-game schedule looks like, the conference schedule, and how that's another game. That's 25, 30 possible carries that – you have to find guys and find fresh legs and find guys that are able to tote the rock in big-time situations, in big-time second halves, right, of these games, because you don't have the ability anymore to sit there and go, okay, it's the third quarter. We're going to slowly start implementing the subs. We're up 42-3 against whoever the case may be. We're going to save the rest of our guys for week whatever, for Alabama, it's, whatever the case may be.
Especially in a 9-game SEC schedule.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
There is not – gone are the days, and I think there are few programs that still will hold to this belief. Missouri may be one of them, but with the help of Mod Hardy, I can't even guarantee this. Gone are the days where you're going to see Kerryon Johnson get 50 carries in a game, take snaps at Wildcat quarterback, and just get him the ball any way they could. You know, you're not going to see your Ashton Gentes as much anymore. You're not going to see your name any Alabama back over the past couple, like before up until like the DeBoer era, like the Derrick Henrys.
Yeah, you're not getting the Derrick Henry, the Mark Ingram, the
I mean, even Josh Jacobs to an extent.
Where it's, 34 carries for 211 yards.
You're not
getting that.
Because not only do they realize that it for the player helps them if they were to go to the next level, it helps for the just what you can scheme in an offense. And in an offense in a world where you're trying to do so much more and make it more complex and more complex, gone are the days where you're just going to go, all right, we're going to hand it to you. You know, out of the 12 plays on this drive, we're going to hand it to you 8 times and do that 7 times. Like, you're not going to see that anymore.
I mean, you look at – shout out Brandon, and I can't believe that I'm doing this, but you think about one of the best 1-2 punches from last year on the running back side of things. You think of Notre Dame because you think of Jeremiah Love, who is now with the Cardinals and I believe is set to have a pretty good year. And then you had – Jadarian Price as well, who is also now with the Seahawks. And so,
I mean, you look at like the even throughout history, both college and NFL. College, you have Cadillac Williams, but you also have Ronnie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You have Nick Chubb, but you also have Sony Michel. You have Reggie Bush, but you have LaDainian White. In the NFL, you have Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen. You have Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet for the Seahawks last year. You have Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. This is where football is going. But hey, Kenneth Walker is not on the Seahawks anymore either.
No, that's fair.
But just running back rooms, the more successful running back rooms nowadays are the ones that have more than just the bell cow.
Yeah, I mean, again, Jeremiah Love, apologies, last year had 199 carries for almost 1,400 yards. Jadarian Price had 113 carries, was clearly that running back two. Yet if you can have an RB2 that has 675 rushing yards, averaging 6 a pop, 11 touchdowns. Oh, and then you also brought in a junior in Anias Williams, who had 24 carries for 224 yards and 5 touchdowns. having a room of running backs, which again, you feel like Auburn has always been able to have. You have that clear one, but then you have the that younger guy that can work his way up and start getting the carries to where it is a pass the baton. Once one guy leaves, the next guy steps up, and you don't even necessarily, I don't want to say you don't feel the absence because that's disrespectful to the guys that leaving, but it makes it that much easier on the learning curve because you're not all of a sudden having to bring in guys and go, okay, you now have to carry the ball 20 times a game. You have that guy that's been carrying it 12, 15 times. If needed, you can easily step in. Omar Mapson can be that guy.
Yeah, it's what Tank was to Jarquez. It's what Jarquez was to Jeremiah Cobb. And being able to give them and get them up to game speed while also giving your RB1 rest is so invaluable. And I think that you're going to see a lot. You're going to continue to see that more in college football. And I think for Auburn, having the Omar Mapsons, the Alvin Hendersons, the Tay Meadows of the world that are younger, that, yeah, maybe they might not be big in the 2026 campaign, but especially in 27, they can be big when you're bringing in a new quarterback and having to get him to adjust to the system. You see it with Tennessee with DeShaun Bishop. It's going to get them ready faster.
You sit there and you look at before we head to break. Would you be okay if Auburn didn't have a 1,000-yard back this season?
I think, I mean, I'm going to say no, but, like, I don't expect the 1,500-yard season we've seen for Auburn running backs in the past. Give me, like, 1,100, and then you have another guy that's, like, 600, 400, and I think that instead of just having one guy and then everyone else is in, like, the 300 range.
I don't mind that. My answer was going to be, heck yeah. If you have guys that don't get to 1,000 yards, but you have Byron with 800, you have Jeremiah with 800, you have then, again, Omar with 500, you have Bryson Washington with 400, you have Tay Meadows with 300, Akai Davenport with 300, all of a sudden you look at it and it's like, holy cow, this team ran for 2,700 yards, have that guy.
That'd be fine.
I don't think that would be the worst way to go about it. Strength and numbers for this Auburn offense. We flip to the hardwood and talk strength and numbers when we come back.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Working our way through hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us, and just wrapped up a conversation talking about the strength in numbers, talking about the receivers, talking about the running backs, and how the benefits of not having that pressure of, I don't even know the right way of saying, because you still want to have the stars on the offensive side, but being able to look at just the fluidity of what the receiver room can look like and that running back room of, if you don't have a 1,000-yard receiver, but you have two or three guys that are in that 700 to 800 range. If you don't have a 1,000-yard rusher, but you have a couple of guys at 800, you have a couple of guys at 500, and you look in, it just feels like a complete offense rather than looking at one or two players that made it work. I think that would build even more confidence to the future. That would build more confidence, at least on my side of things, for just the overall future of what this Alex Golish offense looks like, because then you wouldn't be able to have those arguments of, okay, well, what's it going to look like without Byron Brown? What's it going to look like if you don't have Singleton, if you don't have Jeremiah Cobb? I think if you're able to sit there and go, yes, here is the formula, look at the success, and you can almost plug and place so many different guys, I think that builds even more confidence. I think it makes the recruiting that much easier as well, because although everybody wants to be that star, to sit there and go, yeah, but look at this formula. Look at what we were able to do. Look at how we exceeded our expectations in year one. Now we bring you in. We bring even more guys in to continue to add to what you did. I think that makes things that much easier to pitch to the recruits as well.
Yeah, and it's going to be easy. It's legit. Because of this, because we're going to have four running backs, because we're going to have 6 to 7 wide receivers, you're going to get to play earlier.
Yeah.
You're going to have an opportunity. Maybe you might not be wide receiver one to start out with, but if you're wide receiver six, that's not just, man, maybe if two people get hurt, I go in on five wide.
Mm-hmm.
It's, no, I'm going to be called upon when it's necessary, when it's advantageous for me, and that's going to speed up my development. Meanwhile, it's a healthy competition for snaps, but at the end of the day, it's a good opportunity for this team to have just another wrinkle to it. That's what I can be year one, and then year two, I maybe make that leap. And if you even have those superstars, like if you were to have a Cam Coleman in this offense, sure, he might not get over his season total of 700 yards, but the talent would give him opportunities to be able to be even a bigger mixed match, and I think Auburn will have guys like that in the near future.
There's so many different ways you can look at it, and going to get to the text box. You're going to get to basketball as well, but again, enjoying this conversation of, again, there are different ways that you can look at it, because when Cam is on the field, right, you knew where he was at. You saw him line up every single time. You knew that the defensive coordinator looked to where he was. You knew that both safeties looked to be where they was, because you were going to play over the top the entire time. Fortunately, with Cam, when he was at Auburn, it was, okay, here's a slant. Here's a slant and go, or here's just a streak. And that was kind of the three routes that he had in the tree for this Auburn offense, which is another reason why that video of Cam circulating is funny, because it's like, oh, he's running a route 12 yards down the field over the middle of the field. Wow, okay, there is an offense to where he can actually leave the sideline. But I think you look at that of, okay, if he's on the field, you know that he's going to have that safety over top, but it makes it to where the weak side of the field or the other side of the field is a little bit more open, although you may not have this, especially early on. I wouldn't complain if Keyshawn Singleton became that kind of guy of, okay, we have to know where he's at all times, or Jeremiah Koger is one of those guys that can go up and win a 50-50 ball at any given time, or Christian Neptune's that speedy guy that, okay, you can't let him go over the top. I think that makes it almost more dangerous, because rather than sitting there and circling one guy every time he's on the field, like we talked about in the first segment of, okay, we got to look at every single personnel that works its way onto the field, because it could look different every single play. It can be, again, two speedy guys and a 6'3", go get a 50-50 ball type of guy. It can be three of your speedsters. It can be all physical. You can go an extra tight end that lines up a little bit further out wide, and it makes it so much more confusing. It adds so much more dynamic to that defensive side of the football, which increases the ability for Auburn to take advantage of any sort of mistakes.
And even more to compound on that, like, imagine all the mental thinking the defensive coordinator and the defense has to do of, okay, this guy's in, he likes to do this, okay, mm-hmm. this guy's in, and they're going to get all set up perfectly for them to hand off the ball to Jeremiah Cobb inside zone. Like, that is going to be such a wrinkle.
Oh, no, actually, Byron Brown kept it. Now the left end needs a map, needs a manual. Byron Brown, first down, he's off to the races, he's in the second level.
Yeah.
Peace.
Seriously, that is what you're going to see a good bit. And, you know, that's going to expose a lot of defensive coordinators. That's going to expose a lot of defenses, because there's only so much time to prepare for this Auburn offense. And I just think that Alex Golish and this team, though analytical and as thought process oriented and intent oriented that they are going to know exactly what makes you hurt. And they're going to expose every single player's individual weakness on that defense.
I mean, you think about it from like a UFC standpoint. It's like, okay, every fighter, every boxer, or whatever the case may be, has their individual strength, right? If it's the left jab, if it's the right hand uppercut, if it's the leg kicks, whatever the case may be. And you want to capitalize on that. You could think about that from a pitcher perspective as well on the mound of, okay, if my fastball is the best thing that I have, the fastball is going to be what I lean on. Yet that being said, there's also the cat and mouse game of, okay, now that this guy's expecting fastball, is it going to be I continue to throw it until they beat me with it? Or a boxer, I'm going to continue to go to the one thing that works for me until they're able to block it, until they're able to defend it. You think about it from the Auburn perspective, with the previous regime and with Freeze, it was, okay, we have the receivers. Our strength, I guess on paper, was the pass-catching ability. And so, okay, we're going to continue to go this. We're going to continue to throw the deep ball. We're going to continue to do this. Yet the defense got to see all of the weaknesses. And they were the ones that were able to expose that, rather than, okay, in week one, where we thought there was a little bit of a mentality change on the offensive side of the football, that was last year in Waco, of 38-24, Auburn beating Baylor, it was, holy cow, okay, we knew what our strength was, yet that being said, we also saw that they couldn't block the right jab. They were sitting there, they were vulnerable on the waist side of things, exposing the gut, exposing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes it to where this Alex Golish offense has so many different weapons and so many different ways that they can go about beating you. Yet, as you're saying, they're so process oriented. They're so driven into not only just the numbers, but also just they're hell of coaches. They are fantastic coaches that they can see the mistakes. And I mean, it's like a great coach in between rounds, in between a timeout, in between quarters of, okay, hey, this receiver or this DB is doing this, or they can't stop this. We're going to continue to hit them where it hurts, like what you were talking about, of so many different ways to go about it, because the second that you drop another guy back, that makes the box that much lighter to run the football in. You leave the left end unblocked, and all of a sudden, okay, now it's a QB read with one of the best running quarterbacks, if not the best running quarterback in the entire country. So many different ways that this Auburn team can beat you, and I think that, again, it brings so much excitement to what this team does. I know you have a thought, but when I get to the text box as well, the send medicine text box, which is always open, especially here this afternoon with no phone lines in the Auburn Opelika area, with the power outage, trying to get everything hopefully connected, and maybe we'll be able to get it a little bit in hour number two. But you can always be a part. Again, the send medicine text box at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL, and says, on top of that, Golish hasn't self-assuredly told us how many draftable offensive linemen we have yet. So
that's hilarious. Look, something that you said, and I wanted to harp on this because I think it's such a great point of the strengths of each player and the strengths of the right jab, or, you know, the fastball, where this is going to allow guys to use their strengths and really just kind of hyper-focus on that. And what I mean by that is, I think you saw a lot last year of, like, hey, Eric Singleton's really good at taking the top off of defense, and he's really good at jet sweeps. Why is he running comebacks? Cam Coleman is a good big body receiver. You know, use him, like, kind of fade routes. Why is he running a deep post, you know? And you saw a lot of that last season. This year it's, okay, Chaz Nimrod's good at a comeback route.
Mm-hmm.
That's his bread and butter. We can have him do that 100 times a game, 100 times a season. And then, okay, maybe they catch up to it. We can just put someone else in that's just as good as taking the slant as he is. Chaz is taking that comeback, and suddenly you're having to prepare for more. It allows guys that are good at something to hyper-focus on it. Instead of scheming around it, you're able to scheme to each individual player, each individual route, and just have so many more options. Because then if it's, okay, Chaz, and we got to run comeback, actually it's a stop and go. Touchdown, Auburn! Say, yeah,
the one time or the two times that you, after you hit that a couple of times, you have the corner then again starting to think he can jump around. Then there's one pump fake and you're gone. Makes it to where, again, all easier said than done. We're all sitting here on Monday, August 10th at 2:49 Central Time in the ESPN 106.7 studio, talking about how it really is that easy. It's a simple game, yet, again, not saying it is, but it makes it to where the game can be a whole lot easier offensively than what we have seen over the last handful of years. And I think that in itself should keyword, that was our favorite word last year.
Wasn't close.
That was on the actual football
side
of
things. That
was
the least
favorite
word.
On the radio side of things, should was our favorite word here from 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. But all of this 50-minute conversation that we have now had, should breathe a sigh of relief into the Auburn fans of what the offense and the lack thereof that you've seen over the last handful of years. It's all there. It's all on paper. And you have the talent at quarterback, you have the talent at running back, and you have the group of receivers, whether that's the transfers, whether that's the freshmen, whatever the case may be. You have the units that are there that can make this successful in year one, which continues to build the ladder, continues to build the steps for the future of Auburn football and Alex Golish. We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one, and then get into hour number two, where we will talk basketball on the hardwood with Auburn basketball, Stephen Pearl and the boys in Greece. All of that's here coming up on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us, and have just a minute or two, and so won't dive into the basketball side of things quite yet, but... again, the boys having a fun time over in Greece, and
doing their Mamma Mia summer, Christian.
I mean, man, Ted, can I get some credentials, man? Like,
yeah, hop on the team plane.
Yeah, I mean, I'll call. I've been across the country. Might as well go across the world. I've never been to Greece, Mr. Feely.
Remote from the Parthenon. Why not, Steve?
Why not? Yeah, come on, gosh, we
that would be. That'd be insane.
We were not proactive enough. And so for the On the Line backers, because it is officially football season, we do give a big time apology. It is wild. We are 11 days from high school football.
Chills.
It fires me up, but it's also like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah. There's still so much that needs to get done.
Yeah.
On our side of things, not only for the, like,
live
production
game. Yeah.
In air, even just call it a football game, like we got to amp that up a little bit more. And so again, but that being said, very excited that we are 11 days from high school football, which is really
awesome.
Sweet.
It's awesome. I'm excited. I cannot wait until August 21st. We'll be at Winter Timber Outdoors to preview the high school kickoff. And then you'll be over on Academy Drive. I'll be at Duck Sanford Stadium, and we're gonna hopefully have two good nights.
Yeah, it's gonna be a whole lot of fun. So was hour number two. We talk Auburn basketball, the updates from Greece, also a little bit of news on the quarterback side of things throughout college football, as well as On3 just released their All-America team, and an Auburn logo is there. I bet you could probably figure out where he sits if I tell you he's on the defensive side of the football. We'll dive through that as well. Hour number one in the books. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Auburn basketball updates, quarterback updates throughout the SEC, and an All-America team from On3, all in hour number two.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. You wouldn't know it. It's completely sunny outside here on this Monday, August 10th. But, gosh, what, an hour and a half ago now? Whatever came through Auburn, still leaving the puddles out in the sidewalk or out in the parking lot, as I can see off the window to our left, and that also makes it to where things a little bit more difficult for the streaming, the phone lines, and everything here this afternoon. But here in the Auburn Opelika area, going radio only, going old school here this afternoon, and we appreciate everybody for being here with us. Again, he's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Had a really fun hour number one. Both of us fully back in the studio here this week and talked strength in numbers. Talked a lot about the wide receivers and how Alex Golish says that he wants to run with six guys that can take the field anytime, anywhere, any place, and go make plays. Again, six wide receivers, but then also the four running backs numbered as well, and how, again, basically 10 skill guys that he wants to be able to throw out on the field at any time to go and make plays. And so we talked a lot about that, started from the receiver side of things and what that could look like now that you don't have that one must go to receiver. You have a little bit more of a wide receiver by committee, and how that may not be a bad thing whatsoever, although in the forefront, it doesn't sound as sexy as it is to say that you have that star wide receiver one. Oh, instead, you just have a full unit that goes and makes plays, and it's just a bunch of dudes. And how, man, you may not have that 1,000-yard receiver, yet you would take the ladder in a heartbeat if you could have two guys with 700 yards, with 800 yards. You had another guy with 400 yards, and all of a sudden you looked up and, okay, yeah, Byron Brown threw for 3,200 yards or whatever the case may be. And then we worked our way, transitioned that into the running back room as well with the conversations of Jeremiah Cobb clearly being that running back one. But who is following that? Again, so many different guys in that room. You have the Bryson Washingtons. You have the Tay Meadows. You have Nakai Davenport. But then you also have a guy that the people in Auburn and Opelika know pretty well by the name of Omar Mapson, and how this is a guy that has really, really impressed. Did so even last year, being able to get snaps again as a 17-year-old, and now when should be going into his freshman year of college, is sitting there looking at, okay, this guy can get legitimate RB2 snaps. This guy can get legitimate time on the field inside Jordan-Hare Stadium in year two. I think that continues to build a whole lot of confidence. And so we talked about what that looks like for this running back room, and then also having Byron Brown as a potential runner in there as well, and how dynamic, how effective, how scary it could make this offense if needed. And so if you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out at a podcast center, which is basically the way you're going to have to go back and listen to it if you want to, over at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we're going to be able to look at it, what Auburn basketball has been up to in Greece, in Mykonos, in Athens, all the places that they are over in the Mediterranean Sea. That is what we're going to be talking about, and why you do not need to panic about Auburn basketball's latest result. Don't let the rage baiters, don't let the trolls tell you what to think. We're going to give you the complete rundown. We're going to look at what ESPN insiders are saying about Byron Brown and this Auburn Tigers offense, and why they are maybe a little less optimistic about Byron Brown than we are, but I think that we're going to be able to show why that might not be the case. And
upset about ESPN not being favorable towards Auburn?
Hey, better than that guy over at another in-state publication talking about Auburn, quote-unquote, staying at a resort and then getting mad at you for defending your team. Shocker. Am I right? But then we'll also look at the On3's latest All-American list and what it has to do with the Auburn Tigers. But phone lines are closed in hour number two. I'm not even going to give you the number because the phone lines are just down completely.
We need the boo hotkey.
Boo.
Yeah.
But the text box, the Sin Medicine text box, is wide open at 334-784-1685. 334-784-1OTL. For that text box. And the text box is brought to you by Sen Medicine. At Sen Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. Over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com, S-E-N-N medicine.com. And, you know, another place that you need to be know of, another place you need to be, is Neville Arena on August 22nd and 23rd for the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. Head over to ontovictory.com/card show, card show is all one word, to find out more about the two-day event featuring more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports cards, sports memorabilia, sports collectibles, plus some vendors are even going to be selling Pokemon cards. Neville Arena will play host to all of this. Plus, there's going to be celebrity autographs from the likes of Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, and Andrew Jones, and Dominique Wilkins. Auburn's going to have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players and teams that will compete under the lights this season for Auburn University Athletics. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance your experience. Are you a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports? Auburn 22nd and 23rd will be the two-day fan experience for you. Aubie is also planning on being there as of today, and I'm sure he will because he is very good at honoring his commitments, of course, as a multi-time national champion. He is well-respected. He'll be there both days, and there will be a kid zone with activities to make those days even more memorable. For more information on ticketing, pricing, and a schedule of events, to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/cardshow, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes, along with the Auburn student athletes of today, that's ontovictory.com/cardshow.
And before we dive into our number two, you mentioned Chris Davis, and it brought up a video that I received last night, and do want to give a shout out to my good buddy, Mr. Thomas Lynn Murphy, who is the commissioner of our 30-team fantasy, NFL fantasy
30
team.
30 teams?
So we have a it's basically like, what is it, the European leagues, where it's like you get promoted, you get demoted, stuff
okay.
like that.
So it's not 30 teams in one.
No, it's three 10-team divisions. And okay. So I started in the middle division. I finished runner-up last year, so I got bumped up into the upper echelon. And so because of that, he went and gave some cameos for all of the people to pick our draft order. And those went public last night. And wanted to share this with you real quickly because I think it's kind of cool.
Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, fellas? It's Chris Davis, former Auburn Tiger, Auburn legend, a.k.a. Mr. Kixis. I'm just here to announce you guys' draft order, man, for the Southern Gridiron League Upper Echelon Division, Wardam Eagle. So let's get it started, man. With the first pick, we're going to go with Christian Griffin, the Auburn alum. Number two, we're going
to... That was all.
The top pick.
Damn right.
The top
pick. We're going 1-1, baby.
Heck yeah.
Announced by Mr. Kick Six.
Chris Davis.
I thought that was pretty sweet.
That is actually so cool.
Yeah, he got... Shout out Alex McPherson as well. He got the survival division. Got to list all of those. And then Brandon Godden did the middle division.
Oh,
so,
that's so cool, too.
And Brandon's was hilarious. Christmas was like a minute and a half. I think McPherson's was like 3 minutes. Brandon Godden did like a 5.5-minute thing, just absolutely dogging on everybody's names and why they should or should not be in that order. So, fantastic work from...
That's awesome.
From Mr. Thomas Lynn, Mr. Commissioner. And so,
shout out
to you, sir. But... Yeah, no, you mentioned Chris Davis, and I was like, you know what, I'll play that. And so,
yeah, no, I think that made – I was going to be concerned if you didn't have the first pick. If I
was just playing it and I was like number eight.
you're like in the middle. You're just like
– See, look at that. There is benefits, true benefits in life of being an Auburn alum. You get 1-1 in fantasy when picked by Mr. Kick Six, Mr. Chris Davis himself.
Is this a friend of like high school –
No, from Auburn University, from the Greg Olson's class, actually.
Oh, okay.
From sports broadcasting. So
there you go.
There you go. Full on Auburn shout outs right there, which, I think that was where it started. And then friendship worked its way to the sticks and throughout life. And now.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
Now here we are.
Here we are. You know where we're not right now? Greece with this Auburn Tiger basketball team.
I wish. Man, what a complaint that would be to have. But this Auburn basketball team, again, they are out in Greece right now, and I'm sure everybody has seen right now. They won game one, 92-71, looked really good doing it. Kevin Overton in game one led all scores, had 21 points, 2 steals, 3 assists in that one. Tahad also had 9 assists, which I'll continue to get to here in a moment. But you saw the three-point shooting. You saw a whole lot of excitement. You saw the way that this team runs through Tahad Pettiford, which I will continue to get to here in just a moment as well. But it seems like game two is the one that has some people unnecessarily worried because Auburn fell 70-68. And First off, funny enough, I've actually seen more people, like professional accounts that are usually the ones of like, oh, welcome back to the NIT. It looks like Stephen Pearl is doing this. But like, you've actually seen more people like, okay, well, shout out to Auburn for posting the score. I mean, there's so many other programs that either wouldn't do it or have not done it.
Yeah,
and so
I don't think Vestavia Hill has posted the score of their playoff game. I'm very curious what happened, guys.
I don't think they played, did they?
I mean, they played for about a quarter, and then Auburn started playing. Goodness, sorry. I had to get that shout out there because I think that I checked every day for like 2 weeks. Like, hey, when you guys – like, not even like a thank you fans post. It was just like, these are our captains. And for like a month, they didn't post anything.
Basketball season now, baby.
It's basketball season in Vestavia Hills, so shout out the Rebels. I hope you guys can knock off some contenders this year.
Yeah, but
help
Auburn –
the Tigers.
Auburn fell 70-68 in the final game. Yesterday after, or was this?
This was yesterday.
This was yesterday, yes.
Yes, the 70-68 mm-hmm, game.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of people, and I hope that this is just kind of the loud minority, the 1% that have gone out and freaked out about the loss. And again, you mentioned it, the rage baiters, those that want to point the fingers and laugh. When you go and you look at, I mean, Tahad walked off with an injury, and I don't want to speculate. Do not use me as your insider source because this is just true speculation from what I saw. Even though I don't want to speculate, I preface that as I'm going to. It looked as if two guys just collided knees,
sure,
which happens more than you would think, and it hurts. But there's usually nothing there. I don't think he was planning on playing too much longer. You saw Kevin Overton did not play a whole lot of time. You were without, again, your top four scorers in the second half of this game. This was much more of a let's see what we have with everybody else type of game. And this was also without Montas. This is also without Narcisse Ngoy. And we're still awaiting a little bit in terms of the eligibility type of conversations that I think Auburn's just wanting to make sure that everything is good to go. And again, I don't want to say that worries me, but again, there have been some like, okay, I thought we were all good to go there. I don't know if that's the Protect College Sports Act or what the true reasoning was, but again, those guys did not play yet. When you're looking at game one, which is what I think I want to highlight a little bit more of, man, you saw what this team was able to look like. You saw excitement because it looks as if this team was built around Tahad Pettiford. And I think that is something that needs to be stated. This team does look different right now without Hod on the floor, but I think that goes to show that it was, okay, that's the pitch for year three. That was the pitch for year two, and it didn't work, right? You went to go get some guys, and you realized, okay, we actually went and we built a little bit more of an offense that is built around the ISO style of game rather than the true point guard, rather than your true playmaker. Tahad had 9 assists in game one. Didn't shoot it great, but still was very, very effective on the floor. And in the first quarter before he got banged up in game two, had like 4 points and 4 assists. And so, again, you're seeing the distributing that Tahad Pettiford has the ability to have. Again, you know the scoring is going to continue to work its way as well. And so that is what excites me more than anything else, is you're seeing a team built around the star. And, again, I mean, the vertical is still there. I don't know that man was expecting Tahad to dunk all over him and make him – can you even say wallpaper now? It's more of like a screensaver, I feel
sure.
like.
Sure. I mean, wallpaper is – it's your phone wallpaper.
I guess that's true. Just a different sort of intent that
sure.
that you have to say, put him on a poster with because nobody really does that anymore. Fat head of Tahad on my wall. But – I think that's the main takeaway that I'm seeing is it's a team that has mastered their individual games, and then you compound that, you complement that with Tahad Pettiford, who can get downhill, who can shoot the three, but is also a willing passer to the three-point line. I think that builds a lot of confidence. And then I think there's also some confidence when you go and you look at the rebounding numbers as well from some of the guys that I don't want to say you're not expecting to get numbers from on that rebounding side of things, but when you have 7 foot and 7'1", you expect Narcisse Ngoy, who again did not play, and then Bukayo Boye, again, you expect those guys to be the primary rebounding guys, but when you have Mr. Thomas Dowd with 18 of them in one game, I think that is something that will continue to build confidence for the defensive rebounding side of things because of how much of a weakness that was a year ago.
Yeah, dude, I am buying so much stock in Bukayo Boye. I think, like, this comparison I just popped in my head because, I mean, he had, what, 18 in the game yesterday? And four blocks. He had five blocks in the first game. He's like the Jahni Broome of JT Thor's. I mean, he's got the offensive handle, he's got the size, and he's got phenomenal defense and rebounding, right? He's a guy that you're going to put at the five and be totally comfortable with and is trying to be a leader on this team. You look at Thomas Dowd, what, you did 18 rebounds yesterday?
Yeah, in game one, again, KO led all scores. He was 5 of 10 from 3, was 3 of 4 from 2. He had 21. Tahad had 12. Caleb Williams, who I think has impressed a lot of people, he had 12. Thomas Dowd had 13 and 10. Also had 4 assists in there as well. Simon Walker had 4. Bukayo Boye had 6. Had 4 rebounds, but also had 5 blocks.
He had 17. 7 of 9 shooting. 8 rebounds, 4 blocks yesterday. And I mean, look, I think looking at the score, I know you mentioned it earlier, like, don't worry about it. When Kevin Overton goes 0 for 6, 5 turnovers, and then a starter does not play in the second half, or you have Adam Olsen having 14 points, 4 for 7 triples, I mean, you're not going to be really concerned. I mean, you have Blake going 5 for 5 with 5 free throws. Sure. I think that that is going to be something that, I think this front court, I'm so excited. I'm buying so much stock in Aboye right now. I think he could really be that number three option, that front court option where you have Tahad and you have Overton that are going to shoot the lights out of the ball from the perimeter. But when they need to go inside, when they need a tough bucket, you're going to Boogie. And I think that that is going to be so impactful because you didn't have that last year. Yeah, you had Keyshawn Murphy that could do it. But having that, but then also on the other side of the floor that can play such valuable defense could be really, really good for Auburn.
Tahad played 10 minutes, had 5 points on 2 of 4 shooting, had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. And so, again, I think when you're looking at just a quarter of production – and then again, Thomas Dowd, who finished with 8 points and 18 rebounds. I think that is something that will also continue to bring more and more confidence because, again, we talk a lot about what the outlets are going to look like. If you get the rebound, you get out and go. But you've seen that with the NBA, and I know that's positionless basketball to where half the time the center is the one that gets the rebound and brings the ball up the floor and sets the offense. But in college, you don't see that as much, right? You didn't see Dylan Carwell or Jahni Broome bring the ball up the floor. If you have the small forward who can maybe play into that power forward position but has the ability to handle the ball like Thomas Dowd does, I think that makes things that much easier because, again, as much as you want to have the ball in Tahad's hands, if you can get to the point of, man, we rebound the basketball and we go, and all of a sudden – you're 3 dribbles and you're at half court and you're running in transition because it's a team last year that couldn't run in transition, although we thought that was going to be the biggest part of that team. The depth made it impossible. Auburn was 7 of 16 in transition yesterday, or in game 2, the one they lost. They were 10 of 14 in transition in game 1, the one that they won 92-71. If you're getting 14 fast break buckets, or even just shot attempts, but 10 fast break buckets a game, man, this Auburn team last year had like 4 fast break points in games. It was like, okay, you get a long rebound, you get an outlet, you get a layup. It was like you cheered because it's like, oh my gosh, you finally saw a little bit of fast break, much less if you're making 10 field goals in transition, 10 field goals in the fast break before that defense can get set up. I think that's a whole lot of benefits for this Auburn Tiger team. And again, I put very little stock into the final score of whatever a couple of days ago.
Would I have liked to win? Yes, I think that is every Auburn fan would agree with that. But I think when you look at the box score and you look at the numbers, you look at the availability where basically you had six of your best players out. You're running walk-ons that are just...
You had six guys out there for the final 17 minutes.
Guys that thought that they were just going to get a free trip to Greece, and you have to put them to play signature minutes. I mean, and you still, you came back and almost won the game. Like, they were able to close the gap a lot more. I think that once this team is fully healthy, fully ready to go, when the eligibility issues get solved with Matas and Ngoy, I think that this is just going to be so much of a better basketball team, where if you were to play both these teams at full strength, I think Auburn would win, and you could take away their second-half points. I'm just going to have to put that out there.
Yeah, again, I don't take that with much more than a grain of salt. We got to get to break. We've blown way past our first break here in hour number two, but having a good basketball conversation here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We'll flip back over to the gridiron, give you some quarterback news before we dive into On Three's All-America team and how there is an Auburn logo listed on that and how there's a lot of guys that Auburn's going to see on the other side of the field in 2026. We're off and running here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Having a good time here in the studio, going old school with the power outage that came through about 2 hours ago with the big time storm. I mean, that the thunder and lightning hit right above us for a solid 10 minutes. It felt like it was
And it was funny because we were talking about some of the equipment we have plugged in, just getting ready for high school season, and I go, "Hey, should I go unplug some of this stuff, like, to just us talking? Because it's like, I don't want it to get surged." He goes, "As long as it's in a surge protector, it's fine." One of them was not. So I immediately walk back there. I unplug it, and then the power blipped. And I was like, Look at that. Just think. And nowadays, legitimately, you could not have told me. You could have told me it did not rain. I'd believe you right now.
Fantastic work.
Auburn weather.
Nothing like, especially during 2-4 on ESPN 106.
They had to clear it up for the drive.
Very much so. Very much so. But while we do have just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes before the music starts playing and we get out of here, and then we flip our way over into another preseason list written by On3. Did want to give a big shout out to Sam Solly, 2028 quarterback, the first 2028 commit for the Auburn Tigers, the three-star from Gadsden. Again, this is a kid that grew up a big-time Auburn fan, and if you have not, I highly recommend going and looking at his social media pages where he posted his commitments. And, man, you see all of the pictures and the videos of him wearing Auburn gear and rolling Toomer's Corner when he was a little kid. And we talked a little bit about this with the 2027 commit.
Preston Williams.
Yes, Preston Williams.
Skippersville.
From Skipperville. Yep. Yeah. And how you saw him wearing the Auburn shirt, the Auburn helmet as a little kid. And so you don't have too many of these legacies anymore, right? And that's a conversation for another day when it comes to NIL and the transfer portal and the system and how much playing for a coach means. No, I don't want to say means more than playing for the program, but it used to be, man, I'm going to go represent Auburn. I'm going to go represent Michigan. I'm going to go represent Texas or whoever the case may be, regardless of who's the coach there. The game has obviously changed because you want to make it to the next level. So seeing stories like this, you feel like just mean, I guess, a little bit more here when they make their commitment, when you have a lifetime love for the Auburn Tigers, the opportunity now to wear the orange and blue, to go and play in a stadium that you grew up watching. I mean, that's the dream of all of us, right? Yeah. To go and play, to go run out of whether that's Jordan-Hare Stadium, whether that's Bobby Dodd, whatever the case may be, to go play for your respective school. You don't get many opportunities like that. And so a big-time shout-out. Again, a current three-star right now, but still has a couple more years. This will be a unanimous four-star when everything's said and done.
All I'm saying is the last Auburn quarterback to start that had this kind of mentality of, like, I want to play for Auburn, growing up to be a lifelong Auburn fan, is playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos right now. I'm just saying. Mr. Bo Nix.
We won't say where he went to get truly developed, but that's...
Hey, I'm just hitting two facts here. Don't talk about anything else.
From the state of Alabama, grew up as a lifelong Auburn fan.
Played at Auburn, and now's in the NFL.
written in history, baby.
Written history.
Nothing more that you could want. Music kicking us out of here. We'll dive into On Three's preseason All-America. Talk about why Xavier Atkins is getting some love.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Thirty more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. ESPN, well, no, not ESPNAU.com.
or the Radio Alabama.
Or the Radio Alabama app. That's usually where you can go to keep up and listen with everything when a normal day is a normal day, but tonight was it, or today was anything but a normal day. And so that kind of wiped out a lot of stuff. So going old school as the good Lord intended with the radio only here in Auburn Opelika.
You're picking up the waves to your antenna or you ain't listening to us, Paul.
So another outage, Paul.
Another the outage. Ain't, the lightning ain't play nobody, Paul.
We're ready to hit somebody, Paul. On Three released their 2026 preseason All-America team. That was fantastic. I don't know if that was fantastically good or fantastically bad.
It was fantastically fantastic.
It was in fact fantastic. But they have their All-America team for offense and defense. And when you look at this, funny enough, I first thought that this was going to be the SEC. Just quickly glazing over everything, a lot of SEC logos. And so I then had to go back to it, and I looked at it. And no, this is just the All-America team. And so we'll start offensively and not dive into every single player on this list, but more so some of the big names that are in the SEC and that Auburn will see throughout the 2026 season. And on offense, I think this is one that's going to be a little bit debated. Trinidad Chambliss, the preseason All-America offensive quarterback. And then Kawan Lacy, the counterpart that's in the backfield with him. Those two names with the Ole Miss logo leading the All-America team for the offense. But you feel as if, again, this Ole Miss team, if that were to be the case, you'd sit there and go, man, they should be a deadlock for Atlanta, right? No, I mean, they're projected to finish third or fourth in the SEC. So,
and even a lot of people with smart money would say, I don't know, Paul. I don't know, Jim. I think that this Ole Miss team can be good, because if you want to say Trinidad is the best quarterback in college football, I would disagree with you. I think Arch is better in the SEC. I think Mateer might be in the conversation for potentially being better. I think Trinidad probably has it right now. He is arguably the most accomplished quarterback in college football right now, just from a wins and loss and big game standpoint. I mean, who has a better win than the Sugar Bowl against Georgia in college football right now?
Yeah, I mean,
Gunner winning the SEC championship.
That, I mean,
but against, which was defense really just shut down Ty Simpson.
Right. Is, I mean, you have Sayan that's in there, but
so, well, who did Sayan beat?
That's what I'm saying. But you're waiting for that big game, and so
he lost the Big Ten championship and in the first round of the playoff.
Yeah, I do think a lot of this goes into the award side of things, which I don't know that I love, but it's also a very different offense, or you would expect it to be a little bit of a
no
different
Charlie
offense.
No Charlie Weiss Jr.
Yeah, without Charlie Weiss, without Lane Kiffin. So interested to see what that looks like. You expect Kewon Lacy, Ahmad Hardy, right in there as well.
Sure.
Again, could Auburn, make the Auburn won't play Missouri this year, but
you could make the argument for a guy like Mark Fletcher out of Miami up there. I think that he's going to be good, but I also think Darian Mensa is going to be the showcase of that offense. So Fletcher's production is going to go down while Lacy's will go up, and Hardy's will go up with a new quarterback in Austin Simmons.
If Ahmad Hardy is healthy.
Yeah, if.
Which, again, is a big if when looking at this All-America 2026 preseason All-America team. I don't think there's too many surprises here on the wide receiver side of things. Jeremiah Smith, Malachi Toney. For those that have been a longtime listener of this program, Malachi Toney was somebody that I loved in week zero before he took a snap for Miami, the freshman at the time, and told everybody to watch his name against Notre Dame. And he erupted then and just became one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the country. And the fact that there's pictures of him wearing the Auburn logo kind of hurts to think about. But
I mean, there's every good player that doesn't go to Auburn has an Auburn picture in it, and it makes everyone sad, from the baseball side of things to the basketball side of things to the football side of things. Just a fact. But no, I think those two are fine. I mean, Coleman Wingo, Ryan Coleman Williams could also be could make arguments for being like that wide receiver 3, 4, 5, but I think that Jeremiah Smith is 1-1. Malachi Toney is at worst is the third, but I think second is fine.
Also, from just the standpoint of, I think when you're going like, okay, build an NFL roster, I think you go, or even just a college football team, like, do you want Cam Coleman or do you want Malachi Toney? I think that brings up a conversation, but when you're looking at, unfortunately for Cam, just the accolades of what he was not able to do at Auburn with their system,
dampens that
in comparison to what Malachi Toney was able to do with Miami in year one.
On top of having a way better receiver room than Miami does this year, like Cam Coleman might be wide receiver 2 on that team if Ryan Wingo continues to develop. I doubt that he will be, but he could be.
Wide receiver 2 just in terms of production, right? I mean, you look at Jeremiah Smith, but then you go back and you look at Carnell Tate from last year as well, to where it's like he may have been the wide receiver 1 just because so much attention went towards Jeremiah Smith.
Right, yeah. Toney will not have that issue. He's going to be the far and away the top guy for the Canes.
Yeah.
So,
looking at continuing in the SEC, you have Trevor Goosby, the offensive tackle from Texas.
Yep.
You have Lucas Carnero, the kicker from Ole Miss. I don't think there's too many surprises again. If you really wanted to, you could go Sandell from Oklahoma. Again, I think McPherson is worthy of a conversation as well. But
I think a player that you could mention on the offense that wasn't mentioned at the tight end position, Tre'Davious Green.
Yeah.
Even a Lawson Lucky, maybe not first team All American, but Lawson Lucky should get a little bit of looks being the tight end for the Bulldogs. I mean, that position room has just been gross recently.
I did a rookie mistake. I went to my computer and tried typing into Google.
Yeah, I've had this computer shut all hour and 40 minutes of the show, so I'm kind of having
which does go to show you that it's off the dome.
It's off the dome. It's even more impressive, but I think Tre'Davious Green could have a. And it could be another guy that you could look at. But, I mean, Jamari Johnson's good. He's in a good offense. I mean, I think that's fine.
You now flip your way to the defensive side of the football. I don't think there's many surprises when you look at the edge rusher and Colin Simmons.
Yep. I think he's got potential to be the top pick in the draft.
I think him, Dylan Stewart, still credit to the loyalty to keep him at South Carolina, which I know that him and Shane Beamer are very close, and again, Shane Beamer kind of holding on to that recruiting class and being able to keep a couple of the stars, Lenore Sellers, in there as well, who you could also bring the argument of surprise that he's still a Gamecock. But with those two rushers, I don't have any complaints whatsoever when looking at those two guys. Man, how nice would it be to have a Jared Smith work his way to leading this type of category next year?
Which
I think he has – every single opportunity.
Oh my gosh, I could not be higher on Jared Smith. A guy that, when I went out to practice last week, you know, edge rushers are big dudes, but when you're a big dude among big dudes, it's even more impressive.
While being faster than just about everybody else,
and
too.
More polished than everybody else. Like, I think Jared Smith could be. I mean, he could be the best player on Auburn's defense this year, and that's saying something with Xavier Atkins on this defense. He could just be a pass rush monster.
Did Jared Smith keep number 41?
I believe so. If I remember correctly from seeing him at practice, I believe he's still 41. I believe I have a roster.
I hope there's a comparison. He is. I hope that's a number that he has like a connection to, because
it's a sick number. I mean, that's so.
It's a cool. Very interesting number, but it stands out.
I mean, heck, if I would not mind if 41 Smith is in the Ring of Honor at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah.
But look, I think that Dylan Stewart and Colin Simmons are two guys that I don't think you can get any better than at the edge position from a speed standpoint, from a side standpoint, from a technique standpoint, and guys that offensive linemen across the SEC are going to fear this year.
You work your way not quite to the secondary, but the second line of defense. You have Rasheem Biles at that linebacker position. I don't have any complaints with that whatsoever. And then we mentioned the one Auburn logo that's on here in X, in Xavier Atkins. And, man, I saw a video on my timeline. It was either last night or it was this morning of X against Arkansas. And it was just, it was so beautiful to watch. It was, again, I repeat this every single time I bring up Xavier Atkins, but it's so true of you're playing 10 on 10. When you get to, when everything is said and done, you're playing 10 on 10 because I don't think there's a better spy. I don't think there is a better instinctual linebacker in the country than Xavier Atkins, just in terms of going and making plays, having the ultimate freedom on the defensive side of the football to go and ball hawk. And whether that's needing to get an interception, whether that is containing a Talon Green type of running quarterback, I don't think that there's anybody better in the country that works off of his instincts and a better defensive coordinator that allows him to do that and puts him in better spots than DJ Durkin. Xavier Atkins is rightfully on this list for the Auburn Tigers.
Right, and I mean, you look at what Auburn is going to have to play this year. Gunnar Stockton, potentially Keelan Russell, Kamario Taylor, DJ Lagway, you know, maybe one of the Tennessee quarterbacks is mobile. To be able to take away that scramble ability that has plagued Auburn for decades, that is something that's going to allow the rest of that defense to, okay, I don't have to worry about running a contain here and watching, make sure the quarterback doesn't go right by me. I'm just going to run at the lineman, get by, and he's going to be there. Because if he's not, Xavier Atkins has already tackled him.
You don't have to worry about the coverage sacks that turn into the quarterback's escapability, and all of a sudden you turn around from playing great man-to-man defense. Oh, and there goes the quarterback for a 25-yard gain when he broke away from, again, what was essentially a coverage sack. Xavier Atkins is there. And if you look at this Auburn defense and you take away the mobile threat of a lot of these quarterbacks that you mentioned that Auburn's going to see this football season, and you essentially make it 10 on 10, I would take our 10 guys defensively over just about anybody's other 10 guys offensively. And I think that goes to show why there is still a whole lot of excitement continuing to build for what DJ Durkin is building, and the idea that we were able to retain him because, again, a guy like Xavier Atkins transferred from LSU to go play for DJ Durkin. He stayed at Auburn because of DJ Durkin. That goes to show you the excitement and again, the coachability that, yes, these guys have, but also the trust that these guys have in Durkin. And also the trust that Dirk has in these guys to go and make plays. Xavier Atkins being able to be one of the leaders for this Auburn team, I think, brings a lot of respect having a guy like that on the All-America team represented for the Auburn Tigers. You work your way into the secondary. You have Leonard Moore, a fantastic cornerback from Notre Dame. You have Kelly Jones, who you haven't heard too much about, the cornerback from State, but has silently had a really, really good career in Stark Vegas. KJ Bolden, a name that a lot of people know, that goes to Georgia from Buford University. And then you have Ryan Nimblett, the returner for Texas. These round out all of the SEC guys on the All-America team.
You skipped one over in the state of Alabama.
I did.
Mr. Evan Crenshaw from Troy.
Yeah.
At the punter position. In terms of secondary, I think Kelly Jones is good. I think Leonard Moore is fantastic. Would like to see some love for Ellis Robinson the fourth. I think that he is one of the most underrated defensive backs in the country. I mean, I've been saying it all offseason. I think Georgia's secondary is disgusting.
Did you take Ellis over Bolden?
I he's a corner. Ellis, I believe Ellis is a corner.
I thought he worked his way into the free safety spot.
Oh, well, I've had him in my mind as a corner. But if not, I think you could play him. Another guy that I want to talk about a little bit is Coy Parrish out of Oregon, transferred over from Minnesota, and he kind of did the...
You're right, by the way. Good call.
Thank you. I talk with enough Georgia people every single day, like where I know Jordan Hill and I are both the Georgia experts, unfortunately, on this show. It pays to show, again, just have it being two guys from the Peach State, but again...
There was a third.
I know. Coy Parrish is a good... defense, a safety, and he's a guy that tries to do the Travis Hunter of plays a little bit of offense, can do whatever he wants. I'd be very curious to see if he does that this year. But like Minnesota had him playing both ways when he was a Golden Gopher under PJ Fleck, so that's kind of why he gets the bump. You can maybe look at some other guys at that safety position, but if he's going to be playing both ways, we've seen the precedent set. He could have a really good year. But I think that the defense, I have no complaints there. Again, maybe other than Robinson over Jones, but Jones is also good and just kind of a quieter offseason on a quieter team versus being the SEC front runner this year.
Yeah. So again, just looking at the On3 2026 preseason All-America teams. I'm not a big fan of preseason polls because, again, there are so many moving parts. Yet that being said, I will buy into a little bit more of the preseason individual statistics just because, again, those names are – they are or are going to be, if they're not already, relatively household names when you look at November, come December, come January for teams that want to and will have success in the 2026 football season. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line. Pass the baton to Bill Cameron and The Drive to take you through the rest of the afternoon right after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are On the Line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, not ESPNAU.com or the Radio Alabama app. I don't believe we have any confirmation on the Drive side of things, and so they'll be able to give you more updates in terms of the phone lines, because again, right now the phone lines are closed. The text box has been open all day today. And have been able to read plenty of messages from the Send Medicine text box. And again, apologies for not being able to talk with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here this afternoon. We will be able to get with him. We talked with him. We'll be able to get him tomorrow, most likely, trying to find a time that would work best for him. But we do plan on getting with Mr. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network to give a summer recap, as well as, again, I know last Monday they had big meetings kind of getting prepared for the football season, for just the calendar, the fiscal year, it feels like, for Auburn University Athletics. And so I know that he is excited for everything that worked their way, and some special guests on tomorrow's show as well, which we're excited to bring you.
Yes, we'll have the Auburn soccer team. We'll have Coach James Armstrong will be here with us, and then we'll have two players for the Tigers. I'm pulling up their names right now 100%, but I believe it is Gracie Brown and then Kennedy Husbands, both of those for the Auburn Tigers, and they're going to be great representatives. We're excited to have them on as they kick off their season on Wednesday against Clemson. Steve Witten, if you're listening to this, might want to shut your ears, because we're hoping that the good Tigers win. And so I think they can watch that on SEC Plus, and then Weagle with our man Caleb Robertson.
I was going to say that's where you need to go with Weagle.
Once
91.
You're done with us, once you're done with The Drive, maybe you could do like two on the, like have one on your car, one on your phone, you know, sitting and be able to listen to both at the same time. You could do that and keep up with what we're saying. More impressive too. But go listen to them afterwards. They do a fantastic job with that.
Yeah, we're really excited. I know, again, Caleb is excited to be on the call for that. Caleb's going to be joining me on the Lee Scott Sports Network as well for our color commentary as well. And, man, we're excited for, again, we mentioned it, 11 days until the start of the high school season. Again, it'll be myself and Caleb Robertson on the Lee Scott Sports Network, and then the plethora of guys over on the Auburn High Sports
Network.
Yeah,
we'll have Jack Hudden, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, his first year moving up. We'll have a duo at color commentary. We're going to have Rob Pate, former All-SEC safety, and just local businessman. He'll be there sharing the booth for a couple games, I believe six of them. We'll also have Carson Meyer, another senior at Auburn University that does some stuff with Weagle. He will be there with us as well, doing some color commentary when Rob can't go on the road for certain things. And then I will be the kind of do-it-all person there, the utility.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
doing sideline, pregame, postgame, or halftime, and interviewing Coach Etheridge. So, look, there's going to be a lot going on this fall here on all of our Auburn network stations: ESPN 106.7, 96.3 W Lee, Wings 94.3, a AU 100.3, Tiger Country 104.5. I mean, all of them. I mean, and you'll have Alexa stuff on WANI 98.7, 1400 AM. So
look at that. That's a company man. That's a company man right there.
Yeah. So there's nowhere else you'd rather be. So we're excited to bring that to you, and we'll have more high school updates. We'll be able to bring on Coach Etheridge and Coach Oz coming up really, really soon, and we're excited to be able to highlight those two programs.
Yeah, they laid the turf and finishing laying the turf in the Jumbotron. Ooh. over at John Mills or Judd Scott Field. I continue in baseball mode, but man, excited for that. 11 days till high school football season, and before you know it, it'll be Auburn and Baylor time, week one as well. Hopefully back to a completely normal time tomorrow with the phone lines, with the text box, with everything. But we appreciate everybody for being here, for spending it radio style here with us. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Again, we appreciate everybody for being here with us, and sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we're back tomorrow to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.